I first want to start with a story. I'm sure some of you should remember this because I have read it before here. I never get tired of it. It's a very powerful story. And I'm calling this service, this message, if you want to call it a message, Bought to be Freed. Back in the 1800s, a young Englishman traveling to California in search of gold. After several months of prospecting, he struck it rich. On his way home, he stopped in New Orleans. Not long into his visit, he came upon a crowd of people all looking in the same direction. Approaching the crowd, he recognized that they had gathered for a slave auction. Slavery had been outlawed in England for years, so this young man's curiosity drew him to watch as a person became someone else's property. He heard "sold" just as he joined the crowd. A middle-aged black man was taken away. Next, a beautiful young black girl was pushed up onto the platform and made to walk around so everyone could see her. The miner heard vile jokes and comments that spoke of evil intentions from those around him. Men were laughing as their eyes remained fixed on this new item for sale. The bidding began. Within a minute, the bids surpassed what most slave owners would pay for a black girl. As the bidding continued higher and higher, it was apparent that two men wanted her. In between their bids, they laughed about what they were going to do with her and how the other one would miss out. The miner stood silent as anger welled up inside him. Finally, one man bid a price that was beyond the reach of the other. The girl looked down. The auctioneer called out, "Going once, going twice." Just before the final call, the miner yelled out a price that was exactly twice the previous bid, an amount that exceeded the worth of any man. The crowd laughed, thinking that the miner was only joking, wishing that he could have the girl all to himself. The auctioneer motioned to the miner to come and show his money. The miner opened up the bag of gold he had brought from the trip. The auctioneer shook his head in disbelief as he waved the girl over to him. The girl walked down the steps of the platform until she was eye to eye with the miner. She spat in his face and said through clenched teeth, "I hate you." The miner, without a word, wiped his face, paid the auctioneer, took the girl by the hand, and walked away from the still laughing crowd. He seemed to be looking for something in particular as they walked up one street and down another. Finally, he stopped in front of some sort of store, though the slave girl did not know what type of store it was. She waited outside as the dirty-faced miner went inside and started talking to an elderly man. She couldn't make out what they were talking about. At one point, the voices got louder, and she overheard the store clerk say, "But it's the law! It's the law!" Peering in, she saw the miner pull out his bag of gold and pour what was left of it onto the table. With what seemed like a look of disgust, the clerk picked up the gold and went into a back room. He came out with a piece of paper, and both he and the miner signed it. The girl looked away as the miner came out the door. Stretching out his hand, he said to the girl, "Here are your manumission papers. You are free." The girl did not look up. He tried again, "Here, these are the papers that say you are free. Take them." "I hate you," the girl said, refusing to look up. "Why do you make fun of me?" "No, listen," he pleaded. "These are your freedom papers. You are a free person." The girl looked at the papers, then looked at him, and looked at the papers once again. "You just bought me, and now you're setting me free?" "That's why I bought you. I bought you to set you free." The beautiful young girl fell to her knees in front of the miner, tears streaming down her face. "You bought me to set me free. You bought me to set me free," she said over and over again. The miner said nothing. Clutching his muddy boots, the girl looked up at the miner and said, "All I want to do is serve you because you bought me to set me free." At one time, all of us were slaves to sin and to death. But Christ came to redeem us, to pay for our freedom. He bought us with his blood so that we can go free. Some of what I'm going to say this morning is maybe could be viewed as elementary, but I think it's very important sometimes to stop and pause and think about the simple truth of salvation, but the incredible magnitude of something we can't even comprehend. And first, I want to talk about redemption. What was the cost of redemption? In the original language, the word redemption and even the root word of redemption, which is redeem, the original language definition of that is to redeem by or liberate by payment of ransom or to buy out of a debt. And it has the reference of purchasing a slave with the view of his freedom in mind. In order to redeem that slave, someone must pay the price required to secure that freedom or liberty. In other words, that slave's debt needed to be paid in full. A partial payment wouldn't do it. So Adam, as a representative head of all man, as the father of all mankind, he blew it. He sold us into sin, into slavery, and the bondage of sin, including the results of sin, which is spiritual, moral, and eternal death. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. In this dire condition, no sinner could do anything to redeem their own, to secure their own redemption. And like the slave on the auction block, we were entirely under the control of the one who owned us. Now, there's no doubt there are lost sinners that can do many things to impress other sinners of how good they are and that even they are okay before God. And even in the scriptures, Luke 16:15, he said to them, "You are those who are justly or justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." God isn't impressed with our lame attempts to justify ourselves or redeem ourselves. And Peter tells us that our faith, our morality, our promises, or even our prayers to improve, or even our trying to actually improve, is not going to redeem us. But praise the Lord, he didn't leave us without a hope. He tells us the cost of redemption, the payment price required to purchase the salvation of every person on earth, was one thing: the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Christ offered himself once and for all. And we can't wrap our heads around that, how it worked, but it happened, and it's true. His perfect and substitutionary gift for us. He perfectly and eternally gave this gift of salvation to anyone who would accept it. So I ask you the question this morning, and I trust it's true in your heart: is Christ your Redeemer? I was thinking a little bit some time ago about what Christ must have went through. And I guess I always viewed the crucifixion as the mindset that Christ was suffering and not a human being named Jesus. I don't know if that makes any sense. But when you stop and think about a human being struggling, we can feel that ourselves and maybe a little bit understand what human suffering is like. Jesus was completely human at that point, yet he was still God. He knew what the crucifixion entailed. He knew the humiliation, the shame of the trial. He knew the pain of the beatings, and he knew what the soldiers would do to him. He knew what he would face being nailed to the cross. And I think about all that pain, and even though I can't grasp it totally, a little bit I can see what agony Jesus went through for us. And a song says it this way, and I want to read it to you, but if I was the only sinner on earth, he would have still done it. For what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send down his Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes he had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let him hang on a tree? I wept with the answer: that one earthly reason was me. The fairest of angels were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory, and his only reason was me. I was the reason, that one earthly reason. I was the guilty, he was the sacrifice. I was the beggar, he was the giver. Dying while I go free, his only reason was me. It's pretty powerful. For the rest of our time here, before we partake in communion, and this is This is Thanksgiving time. This is what this the purpose, and I always appreciated this about Montgomery when I first came here and was told that we do a Thanksgiving communion. I thought that's really special because it really should be a time of thanksgiving to God for sending his son for us. And I have a series of scriptures just talking about the redemption, the price that was paid, and the blessing that it is to us. And I have a few comments on each scripture. And I just thought maybe make this a little bit interactive and have each one read a scripture. Did Darlene take off? So Helen, you're up then. And just turn, I'll have each of you turn to it, and then I'll call on you to read it here in a moment. But Helen, if you'd read 1 Peter 1:18. And Robert, I'll have you read 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let's see, Ruby, you can read Hebrews 9:12. And Dean, I'll have you read Ephesians 1:7. Let's start with those for now. And Helen, if you're ready, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19.
For you know that it was not with...
Hold your mic up.
For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defeat.
Think about that for a second. Our ancestors, you know, you receive an inheritance sometimes if you have wealthy ancestors, wealthy parents, and they can hand special things to you of value. But that couldn't save you, no matter how much is collected. It took Jesus' blood. He was perfect. He was without spot. There was no sin in him. He was perfect. But after he took on our sin, and I can't wrap my head around this, but he had to go through the anguish of being imperfect. That wouldn't be a struggle for me because I'm already quite imperfect. But for the Son of God, suddenly he was tarnished. And I suspect, and again, I don't know this for a fact, but Scripture alludes to some of this, that suffering of obviously having his father not being able to look at him and the suffering of suddenly carrying sin in his own body was likely way worse than any physical suffering. It's incredible. Robert, 1 Corinthians 6:20.
You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
Jesus Christ gave such a high price, paid such a high price for redemption. Why shouldn't we honor him by giving ourselves completely back to him for his service? You know, in Romans 12:1, it talks about us being a living sacrifice, and it's the least we could do, kind of how the Scripture alludes to it. It's reasonable. It's natural. It says it's kind of like if someone did something incredible for you, the least you would want to do is thank them in return and do something good for them. He saved our lives by giving us his own life. Why shouldn't we give our lives back to him and serve him? And by doing this, this is absolutely the highest form of worship that we could give him, ourselves. Ruby, I think, 9:12, Hebrews 9:12.
He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption.
We can look through the Old Testament rituals and laws and never fully grasp the intensity of the Holy of Holies, the place that the priests had to go into to talk to God directly. And I really, to be honest with you, I know some about it, but there's depth there that I'm not sure we'll ever fully comprehend. But it was serious stuff. Only a priest could go in there for people. They couldn't talk to God directly. We don't know what that's like. And it's a rumor, a legend maybe. I'm not even sure what term you want to use. But I thought it was scriptural, but it isn't scriptural. I think it might have been handed down through history. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but it is told that even the priest would go in with a rope tied around his ankle in case he did the wrong thing. He was struck dead and pulled out. So it was serious business. Now, whether that's accurate or not doesn't negate the fact that this priest was going in to talk to Almighty God for other people, and he had a huge job. The bottom line was humans couldn't talk to God directly. Jesus, on the night of his crucifixion, went in and cleared the way for us to enter into God's presence. We do it so easily. Just, dear God, would you help me right now? Just stop and you just say that prayer. You just went into the Holy of Holies and talked to God. We don't think about it. We don't need a priest anymore. We can go right and talk to God at any time. And we can't imagine what it's like any other way because we didn't live back then. But can you stop and think? Instead of right then saying, Lord, I need your help right now, I got to call up my priest or text him and say, hey, can you talk to God for me real quick? Imagine that. What an incredible gift. Ephesians 1:17.
Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace.
Simply put, through his wonderful, marvelous grace, anything we are or will become is only through him. It's because of Jesus, and we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? That's the one thing we better be thankful for. Let's see, Gary, do you want to do one, Isaiah 53:7? And maybe I'll have Cindy, could you do Hebrews 9:28? And then we'll jump back to Adeline. Could do 1 Peter 2:24. Let's move up. Maybe Karen, could you read Colossians 1:21? All right, Isaiah 53:7.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
So this got to me to thinking, and I'm sure you can relate to this, but at different times I've gone through some pretty rough emotional patches in my life. And some of them somewhat knocked the wind out of me, so to speak, emotionally. And I thought, you know, I'm having it really rough. And think about what Jesus did for me, and he did it without complaint. Willingly? I'm not sure if I could have succeeded to do that. What are we willing to go through for the sake of Christ and the gospel and getting the love of Jesus out? Are we willing to suffer a little bit of discomfort for his sake? I mean, think of what he suffered for us. Hebrews 9:28, I think. Did I say, was it Cindy?
So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation.
So if we've accepted him as our Savior, then we don't need to fear his return. It says, those who eagerly wait for him. We can look forward to it. And I'm sure many of you can tell similar stories, but I remember as a child being afraid Jesus would come back and I couldn't go to heaven because I maybe lied to my parents or something. I'm not sure. And it's a childlike perspective, and I'm thankful that I had that tender conscience. But that was as a child. I don't want to know what it would feel like as an adult, knowing without a doubt that I am not going to heaven if he returns. Knowing that it is well in my soul, that brings a peace. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. I've shared this before, but one time singing that song, that last verse hit me. I used to think that verse doesn't fit with the rest of the song, and what in the world is it in there for? All the other verses are about going through tough times, and the Lord's with me, and even so, it's well with my soul, even though I'm having tough times. All of a sudden, it hit me. Even if Jesus comes back, I don't have to be afraid. It's well with my soul. What a promise. But for the non-believer, knowing that Christ is coming back, that would be a fearful thing indeed. But we can say, even so, come Lord Jesus, it is well with my soul. Add a line, 1 Peter 2:24.
Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By his stripes you were healed.
That last phrase, by his stripes we are healed. Isn't it ironic that it took the injury and death of Jesus to bring our healing? By his hurt, we have hope. By his death, we have life. What is more to say? What amazing thing to rejoice in, even if we really don't fully understand it. Colossians 1, 21 and 22, Karen.
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Suddenly, we are perfect. Think about that. Because of his sacrifice, he became tarnished and blemished. He became imperfect only to present us perfect before God. We have nothing to offer. We're flawed. We're messed up. Pretty twisted up people. But because of him, we're flawless before God. That's amazing. Brian, can you read John 1:29? John 1:29. Jessica, Galatians 1:4. And maybe Elise, could you read 1 Corinthians 7:23? And that's all of them. John 1:29 when you're ready.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world."
Jesus Christ alone was the only price to redeem all mankind. Nothing else would work. We said that before. Anything with value wasn't going to cut it. So John said a mouthful when he said, "Hey, here he is. He's the one that's going to take away your sins." And I can't comprehend what this must have been like to that crowd there, because they didn't know. We know this stuff now, but they didn't know what he was talking about. Like, what do you mean, the Lamb? Like, what do you mean? And really, truly, even now, we can't fully comprehend it, how it works, but it doesn't make it any less true. He took away the sin of the world. Jessica, Galatians 1:4.
Who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father.
We were all facing certain death, but it's through him and his sacrifice that we're delivered from that. And we only have to accept it. That's all we have to do. We don't have to earn it. We just have to accept it. And I don't understand why you would choose the alternative. It seems to me a pretty simple decision, really. Life or death, eternally. 1 Corinthians 7:23.
You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men.
We were bought at a price. You had, and I had, an incredibly high price paid for us. Why don't we stand alone then and show the world around us what an incredible value the Lord placed on us by redeeming us? Instead of allowing Satan and his pleasures that, yeah, they are fun for a little while, to come in and we become slaves to that, can we instead stand up and say, I'm committed to Jesus Christ and I want to show you what a difference he's made in my life. He paid an incredible price for me. And he paid an incredible price for you, if you'll just listen and hear it. I hope this little exercise helped a little bit to remind us the incredible truth of what Jesus did for us. And even standing up here talking about it, I'm saying words. I still can't wrap my head around it. I just know it's a reality in my life. You ask me how I know he lives in my heart. I can't tell you how it all works and plays out. That's God's business. But I'm thankful and grateful for it. We're going to enter into our communion time. And another thing that I want to make special emphasis on is our young people. I'm very, very grateful that God has blessed us with young people, because obviously, if there wasn't any young people, there won't be any future. And, oh, we could use some more, but I'm really, really thankful for the ones that are here and for their somewhat grudging but willingness to help this morning. So I've asked 8 different of our youth to come up and help me. So you guys can just come and sit in one of these benches or a couple of these benches. You know who you are.